Shkach Naftali. Shkach for promoting it. Like some other events today. Very interesting thing. We're calling this calling Menorah, Menorah. If you look at this Svarim, and by this I mean the canon, if we can call it that. It's not called a Menorah. It's called Ner Chanukah, and the thing that it goes inside is called Klil Ner Chanukah. In fact, there's a famous Rabbi Yitzchak Saginar ben Arifa that people like to quote, that there's 15 levels of hiddur for a Menorah. You know, gold, silver, etc. He doesn't even call it a Menorah. He calls it a Klil Ner Chanukah. He's referring to the Menorah. So, you know, when Rabbi David Shostel was here 2 years ago about the Q&A, he said any a minig is really a hergish. Minig is a pure Jewish sentiment. That's what a minig is. It's not a din. It's just a proper Yiddish hergish. So let's explore, Taka. What's the Yiddish hergish behind this name Menorah? If you look in the Gemara, you're not going to find that it's called a Menorah. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, in the Tur, in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, in the Chafam Sadam, they call it Ner Chanukah. All the dinim Ner Chanukah. The Mishnah Berurah already, it's modern day, refers to Menorah. But what's the pshat? Yidden grab hold on to every echo of the Beis HaMikdash. Back when I was in Chabad many years ago, there was a line going around from the Baal Shem Tov that, what's this Amineira? Amineira is Amineira. And so the pshat is, what? Just like you take a young child that, like, he sees his father putting on a talus, chuckling, and he mamash connects to the sight. He puts on a blanket himself and he starts chuckling, and this is a pure, beautiful spiritual thing. He's like, he's being machaber to the mara of like kedusha. So by us, anytime we hear like a havara of the Beis HaMikdash, we're, oh, let's light the menorah. Give me 3 steps. I'll light the menorah. It's not just Ner Chanukah. The we're that little kid seeing their father, you know, in the talis and trying to be mechaber to the echoes of the Beis HaMikdash, which is Be'etzem. The pasuk in Hosea says it's talking about after the long galus. Achar Yeshuv Bnei Yisrael Vikshus Hashem Lekeim as David Malcolm Ufachdu Al Hashem Bel Tuvay. So Rashi there brings that 3 things Klal Yisrael were Mayis B'Meir Chavam, the Beis HaMikdash, Malchus Beis David, and Malchus Shemayim. Ve'ein Marlehem Sim Geula Ad Sheyivakshu Shlashta. So sorry, this connection that we're trying to be mechaber in whatever way possible, our avodah on Chanukah to the Beis HaMikdash and to the Kohen Gadol, imagining that we're the Kohen Gadol, is a beautiful kiyum in that bikush for the Beis HaMikdash. So I want to just point to a couple chumras, hanhogateva, hidurim. Some of these are das yachid. Some of these are stam hidurim. But things that are done out of an effort to connect our avodah on Chanukah to the Kohen Gadol's hadlakas neiros, or the Zohar's hadlakas neiros in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rishayim and the Meir, the Kalba, write that there's a hiddur to be madlik Shem and Zayas, because dumi d'minayra, you could light other things, it's kosher. Shem and Zayas is a hiddur. A couple interesting pratim in that. Well, Yashua had a, he wanted that we should extract the pit of the olive before you press it. One time they, because otherwise if you press the whole thing, it's called olive pit oil. It's not olive oil. So it's not dumi d'minayra. It used to be a cold press. Take out the pit first. He wanted it shouldn't be mevushal. It should be a cold press. And obviously these are. Shmuel says this is chatchila mitzvah and mochar. If you don't have that, but these are hidurim that people that are trying to see themselves as the Kohen Gadol dumi d'minayra, bring the early Beis HaMikdash into their hadlaka. The menorah itself, we mentioned that there's a hiddur, it should be shalzav. The psilis, the Mechaim Palagi brings down a hiddur that it should be shal pishtan, because that's how it was in the Beis HaMikdash. The chadish ha-psilis, the Shulchan Aruch says there's no union to renew the psilis every night. But Rishayim already, the Kolbei says that that's what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. They were mechadish ha-psilis. Some people either do the tilis to die before hadlaka, or they go to the mikvah, dimu de kol ha-nichnas la-azar, ta-in tvila. The Birkei Yosef brings from Rav Shmuel Abuhav, Sefer HaZachronis, that on Erev Shabbos we should have mincha before Hadlaka because Tamash Ben Abayim comes before Hadlaka's Neris. So usually we always, we're davening before Hadlaka because Hadlaka is at night. When we be makdim Hadlaka, we should make sure to daven mincha first. Alicia Wolfson and Chavira of the Yeshivas Harabayas, they just announced that they found the Makom HaMizbeach. So even if my sayim in Mertuya and all that they do up there is maybe not the best, Kavanosa Mertuya L'chayra. This is the Yelad Shashum of Hashem saying, you know, I found five knots on my blanket. You know, the bikush is a hil gazach. So a menorah is a menorah. That's what it is. Okay, let's move to another nekuda. A lot of people are not crazy over Jewish independence. The idea of Jewish independence, whether it's in Skver, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's in Lakewood. What if it's be independent? Let's just do the mitzvahs. But we can't hide from the fact that one of the ikrei, you know, Yeshuas on Chanukah was taka Jewish independence. Lashon Aram is Bayis Sheni Kshamolchu Yovan Gozru Gzeiros Al Yisrael. They were mevatel dasam. They didn't let them learn Torah and mitzvahs. They pashtu yadnim b'mamaynam b'meiseyam. We know there was a gzera of Tibal Hegman Tchila. They were metam at the Tyrus. They give a big lachatz at Sherichim Aleim Ke Aviseinu v'Hashia Miyadam and Gav Rubnei Chashmenei Akaham Agdeilim. So the pasuk is v'Chazra Malchus LiYisrael Yisrael Masayim Shana Adachur Ben Hasheni. So anybody that's not trying to be stubborn realizes that this is the climax of the Yeshua of Chanukah is now we have Jewish independence. But Bira Inyan Reb Chaim Dever Binowitz, who was the Shver of Reb Chaim Mintz. A very interesting fellow. He wrote a whole history series. He showed his svarim. He wrote Das Sefer on Tanakh. He showed his svarim to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said Chazok Al Chaver. You know, you don't even have to read. He didn't have to read through. He had a lot of interesting. You know, he was over 30 years younger than Chazon Ish, but he mamish. Not that he was equal to Chazon Ish, but he once asked the Chazon Ish. Reb Chaim Mintz brings this down in Zekenech of Yemrilach, that he once asked the Chazon Ish. He told the Chazon Ish, he was fighting with the Chazon Ish over something. He was a Shtiglaskin, and he said, "Where does it say this? Is this Ruach HaKodesh?" For somebody to speak like that to Chazon Ish, you know, obviously he wasn't bedarga the Chazon Ish, but Chazon Ish told him, "Yo, the Ravid writes something, mamish, you know, frightening things." So he wrote that the Indian of really Malchus Yisrael is that it says in the Torah, Mashal to Begoyim Rabim is a Maila, Uvachalayim Shailu, for others to rule over you is a Chesar. He says in the past, church and state was one, and really even today it's one, it's just not religion, it's whatever they believe in, it's an ideology. But since the government controls a lot of things, so Mila were impacted by all those things. Let's say the rule of law, so. Like Rabbi Gershon Rubner, my rabbi used to talk about, like archaic. Why is archaic like avodah zarah? Because law is based on whatever religion the government holds of. His mashal was: let's say you come stealing. Stealing is not usher. The avodah zarah steal all the time. You can't take somebody's wife. What do you mean? Look what they do all the time. So you can't convict somebody for basically your morality, all your midas. If that's what it says by the Avodah Zarah that they're doing, then Mimela, that can't be forbidden by the rule of law. Obviously, he says that the freedoms that governments allow is based on what they believe a person should be able to do, and what they withhold from a person is based on what they shouldn't be allowed to do. So if there's a government that thinks that you shouldn't be fruitful and multiply, they'll limit your kids to one. If they say you shouldn't drink, it's usher to drink, they'll forbid drinking. But there's a lot that comes, rules, real rules, and freedoms and censorships that come from, you know, the mindset of the government. And there's just the way they control the environment. They could fund programs. They could give tax breaks. A lot of things they could do to create avira. So all of this came back to Klal Yisrael b'mei Chanukah. All of this was you know, pushed upon them by the Yevanim, and all this was removed and came upon them b'shleimus b'mei Chanukah. Many people say that the Ramban argues on the Rambam in this prat. Because the Ramban, famously in Vayechi and in the Vikuach, he says that when the Malchus Chashmonai ruled over Klal Yisrael, they were over on the Tzavos Hazakim. Yaakov Avinu said, Lo Shevim Yehuda, and they were Melech, so that's, that they were over, that was a bad thing. So So these Gdelim, I think, are by Baruch, by Kamenetsky, Gan Shoshanim brings down from Rosh Hashanah Soloveitchik, that obviously we're not going to be rejoicing in something which is Bechatzah Keneged Ratzon Hashem. The Ramban must argue on the Rambam in this Prat. It's Be'etzim Shvar in the Rambam, yeah. The Malchus Hashmonai, we're over on Tzavos Yaakov Avinu. How could we be enjoying and be Misameach in their Nitzachin?
Why are those two things connected?
Which two things?
Why can't it be two separate things? It just happened that way, but maybe...
There's something very, very unsettling about this great Nitzachin, that the way it tells the Chayis, I hear. So Rabbi Kamenetsky has a way of mamish divorcing these two. He says that just to be mocked him for his teretz. It says in the Torah that Yosef HaTzadik, when he was the ruler of Mitzrayim, he did a maisa sancheiv. He took people that lived in one side of the country, moved them all. Everybody moved. Why? Zokter Ashi lahidi ashvache, to remove the cherpa me'al echav, that people shouldn't call them goyim, immigrants. So this way, everybody's an immigrant. So to American, that would be called a scandal. If you do something for your close relatives, a few people, 10 people, and you make a maisa sancheir over the whole nation, a guy that lives in Rhode Island now, he lives in New York, everybody for theirs has no more fever to their city. That would be called corruption if that happened nowadays. And the teretz is simple, but maybe a little bit foreign, which is that today we have a president or whatever positions of authority we have, they're all servants of the people. It's a very different concept than a king. A king is Eisa B'Seich Shaleh. He owns the country, and whatever he does, it's like a farmer. He doesn't have to reckon with the feelings of the animals. He does whatever is efficient and profitable for his farm. That's his bylaws. Maybe he'll decide to have Rachmanis, but it's not corruption if he doesn't. If he decides that he needs to shat these animals now, those animals tomorrow, it's his country. It was Yosef was Shalit B'chol Aretz. He had every right to do it. And this is a central chilek between a king and a public servant. This chilek is pretty clear from Shmuel, where Shmuel always, he says, Esher milakachti, eschamer milakachti, I never took a single cent from the people, versus the Mishpat HaMelech when he's cautioning the people, don't take a king because they're going to take all of your kids, they're going to take all your fields, they're going to take things, and that's what a melech is. He owns the country. Before I moved here, I was part of a Ribbis Chabura that opened a Beis Harel after the Ribbis Chabura was over. So one interesting question that came was a gabbai called, and he said that he's a gabbai of a shul, and he said that I borrowed money from somebody. And I want to give him an aliyah. He helped me out. He really helped me. I want to do something for him. I want to give him an aliyah, like a chash of aliyah. So before answering the question, they told him, like, the aliyahs aren't yours to give out as personal favors. You're at the bima as a shliach of the tzibur. The moment that you're getting personal benefit out of it, that's forget about the yerdeh. It's chash mishpat. It's not yours. So Rabbi Kamenetsky that the Chashmonaim were not malachim. They were civil servants. They were nasiim. A nasi gets a minoy. A melech is elul amucha. He doesn't get a minoy. A minoy means that the people are mamana him. So he says something very interesting. B'seif, they were mekalkel. They became malachim. He says, Rabbi Kamenetsky says in the R on the bottom, if you check the coins of the period, you'll see that says Yechanan ben Gadol Chaver HaYehudim, the council head. He did not call himself the king. If you look at Yanai HaMelech, the coins from Yanai HaMelech, he calls himself Yanai Malka something. He already at the end, you see the Gemara in Babasra, he considered himself already a king. But the bottom line, the fact that the Melucha, the independence came back to Klal Yisrael, was Be'etzim HaTshuva Gedolah, a big Yeshua. Beforehand, a Jewish man didn't control his house. The door was off his house. He had no control over his wife. Chinuch, Shabbos Suda, forget it. Talmud Torah, there was nothing. And all of that came back to him. He was shailen on the environment again. And that Yeshua is Kayim Azeh, that today, Yidden have control over their environment, their houses. They can close the doors. They were going to Nashkaz right after that. Yeah, we control. We could write on our houses, Yesh lanu chelik b'elokei Yisrael, and we could live with Kedusha, with our mishpachas, and we could lead lives as the Yidden that we would like to be.